Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This poor family out of Detroit. So the statement from the family of Tamisha Beauchamp, who had died in Detroit the first time back in August and then showed signs of life and has been critically in critical condition since then. Her family came out and said, which one of the most heartbreaking statements you can hear someone say, this is the second time our beloved Tamisha has been pronounced dead, but this time she is not coming back. This was the woman, 20 years old, with cerebral palsy, who had been at home back in August, and her family called 911 because she appeared to be suffering from serious breathing problems. There are some questions about exactly what happened after that, but ultimately a doctor who was not on the scene pronounced her dead. She is collected, her body is taken to the funeral home, and the funeral home calls 911 when staff sees her chest moving. She has been in a children's hospital. She has cerebral palsy, so she has been taken to a children's hospital and has been in critical condition ever since, and actually really died on Sunday.
Yeah, and there were a lot of questions about the actions of the paramedics at the time. This was, if I'm not mistaken, this is the woman who's, she had a relative who was an aunt, I believe, who was
a nurse. Yes, her grandmother.
It was her grandmother, right, who was a nurse and said, her chest is moving. I mean, they weren't convinced at the time that she was taken away to the funeral home that she was indeed dead. And the paramedics responded that it was just a reflex, that they had seen this kind of thing before and that there was nothing, there was no bringing her back.
Yeah, apparently the grandmother really was pushing paramedics and really saying, the family was really trying to advocate and say, she's not dead, we see her chest moving. And again, the doctor that pronounced her dead was never at the scene. In fact, I believe it was done by telephone.
Yes.
And I don't know why they didn't just get her to a hospital. I don't know why this continued to happen on the scene instead of getting her very quickly to a hospital. But they kept trying to resuscitate her at the scene, and the doctor by phone pronounced her dead, which to me, I don't know what procedures are for that kind of thing, but I don't like that that's being done by telephone. There are questions now about if you had just taken her to a hospital initially instead of doing life-saving measures there that didn't work and getting her to a funeral home, would that hour, because it was about an hour that passed, would that hour have saved her life? This family has filed a $50 million federal lawsuit. I don't know why federal. $50 million federal lawsuit against the city and the four first responders who attended to her. The family... this is the family's attorney, I believe, said she died as a result of massive brain damage that was suffered when paramedics wrongly declared her dead and failed to provide her much needed oxygen. Instead, she was sent to a funeral home, which then they discovered that her eyes were open and that she was alive. The fire chief had told reporters that she might have been found alive due to Lazarus syndrome, in which people come back to life without assistance after attempts to resuscitate have failed.
Yeah, and that attorney, by the way, is Jeffrey Feiger. Again, another connection back to the OJ case. He was part of the Dream Team for a while, but he's taken on this case for them, and it'll be interesting to see if they now try to make a connection between that hour that she spent effectively in a body bag on her way to the funeral home as the cause of her eventual death. If they say, well, maybe she would have lived longer had she not gone through that earlier ordeal. And if there's some kind of change in the case now because she's gone.
Here's the question. How do you know? You have no way to know.
Very hard to prove.
If it would have made a difference.
But as a defense attorney, do you want to try to argue that case in front of a jury? If your job is to defend the city against that lawsuit, do you want to say, nah, they had nothing to do with it? I mean, come on, you know, she was probably going to die soon anyway. She was obviously in trouble. You could make that case, but I'm not sure I'd want a jury to hear me make that argument.
Especially if procedurally anything was done wrong. And regardless of whether, you know, you can try to prove that she would have still, but she'd still be alive if they had not taken that hour. If procedurally you can prove that these four paramedics did anything that they weren't supposed to do or didn't follow that procedure to a T, you've got a case then. The family's got a case.
Yeah, you've got to believe what Jeffrey Feiger and his team are doing right now is going through the records of every case that that pair of paramedics has been through and looking over the notes from all of those cases and saying, okay, did they treat anyone else, anyone who wasn't, who wasn't suffering from cerebral palsy or the rest of it, did they treat other people differently than they treated her? And if they can find that, this is going to be a very quick settlement.
Texter says it is not uncommon to have medical control via telephone. But a pronunciation of death, though? How? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
I don't know anything about it.
But to make the declaration of death by phone without a doctor making that declaration, I don't know. Are paramedics allowed? If paramedics were allowed to declare death, they would have done it. Well, if paramedics aren't allowed to declare death, why are they allowed to do it by phone? You know, why not get her to a hospital and let a doctor do it there?
Because at that point, they're the only ones who are giving information to the doctor who's making the pronouncement. He's making it off of information he's getting from the paramedics. If that's the case, let the paramedics make the call. But obviously, in this case, they shouldn't have.
Right. They will get, my prediction is they will get money. They will get money. I don't know if it's going to be the $50 million that they're after, but they'll get something. I mean, and can you just imagine... It was August 23rd that this happened. So, you know, for 2 months they've been sitting here and she has been in critical condition that whole time. And I don't know eventually what happened. I don't know if she was on life support and they just decided to disconnect it. I don't know if something happened. We don't know the outcome of that. But for the last 2 months, to go through this twice is unbelievable.
And not that it has anything to do with this case. It doesn't. But it was just... one of those odd coincidences in life that this story broke within days of a story breaking out of Russia about a woman who was on the slab and woke back up, and they found her on the floor. She also died shortly afterward, but there was a woman who had been pronounced dead and was at the coroner's office and woke back up and was able to get herself off the table. And at the time, it's hard to hear a story and not look down your nose at them and go, man, I'm glad we don't live in Russia. And then this happened.
Yeah, right after that. Texter says it is very common practice pronouncing death by phone in an emergent situation. This texter says she 99.9% would have died regardless, but it's the what ifs that give him a case. Yep. Here's my question. What's the hurry in declaring death? I mean, if you think she's dead anyway, and if you're certain, what's the hurry in declaring? Why is that emergent? Why do you have to hurry up and declare death by phone? Why can't you get her to a hospital and just keep trying to resuscitate?
My guess would be, and the texter who has obviously got some experience with this can confirm, is that at that point you can stop working. You don't have to continue life-saving procedures once death has been declared.
Okay, if we have any paramedics listening, I just want to know what kind of training you get in knowing whether someone is dead, which I know is a weird question. But again, the doctor based that declaration off whatever he was told by four paramedics. I think there were two at the scene, and I think there were a couple of others because there are four being sued. So what training does a paramedic get in that situation? And what's the harm in just continuing CPR or whatever it is, get her to a hospital and see if there's anything else they can do? I don't get the hurry. 576-7798. If we have anybody, a lot of you texting appear to have some medical knowledge. If you want to call,
yeah, please do. Sure.
The family of a 20-year-old woman with cerebral palsy who was declared dead via phone back in August has filed a $50 million lawsuit, federal lawsuit, against the city and the four paramedics who responded to the scene because after being declared dead by phone, she was taken to a funeral home, and it turns out her chest was moving, and she was not dead at that point. They took her to a hospital. She's been in a children's hospital for 2 months and then really, really died this past Sunday. And I was asking questions about the declaration of death by phone and why, what's the hurry to declare death by phone? Why not keep trying to give CPR and get her to a hospital? At the very least, so a doctor can see for himself.
Yeah, and one of the texters said that, you know, we had posited the idea that maybe it's just because they can at that point stop working. They don't need to continue trying life-saving procedures on somebody who's been declared dead. And a texter pointed out, yeah, that and the fact that you at that point you don't have to bring dead bodies to the hospital. There's no reason to do that and take up the hospital's time by having to have a doctor come out and declare somebody dead. And you know they've already got other things on their plate, presumably. So you just don't want to bother them with something that they don't have to deal with.
Yeah, I have to tell you the place that my head goes on this. We'll get to the calls here in a second. Is that my dad died of a heart attack and woke up in the middle of the night with chest pain, and I guess the paramedics on the scene, if this had been that case, the paramedics on the scene could have called a doctor at the hospital. If laws are true everywhere and procedures are true everywhere, and I don't know that they are, then it would have been a doctor by phone declaring him dead. And I think I want the peace of mind that a doctor who has more medical knowledge than paramedics is making that decision at a hospital. But we will go to a gentleman who's been a medic for a very long time, 44 years, I'm told. We'll go to Leavenworth and get Dennis on the line with us. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Good.
Not much. The reason that you stop working a code that you know is deceased is that, like you said, if you transport the patient that you know is dead and your family is having another medical emergency, there may not be another ambulance that can come and take care of your family member while I'm working a deceased individual. And so if the patient is not breathing, the heart is not beating, and the blood is pooled and they're cold to the touch, I don't transport that patient where I'm free to go to another call. I'm sorry, I'm babysitting.
That's okay. Sounds like somebody's having a bad day. Uh-huh. That's all right. We totally get it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And at that point, though, what kind of information can you, as a paramedic, give to a doctor that would allow them to make that call in a way that you'd be sure something like this doesn't happen?
And depending on what service you work for, a lot of times we don't even have to make the call because where I worked, we were out in the county sometimes 30 to 45 minutes from a receiving facility. And in Western Kansas, you're even further away than that.
Okay, that's right. This is Detroit, though.
Okay.
Where I assume the nearest hospital's not far away.
Yeah.
No, you would actually, you'd give them a quick medical history, the vital signs of what you've got on the patient, like no heartbeat, no respirations, if there's lividity, if the body is cold to the touch, when the patient was last seen up and moving, if they've been having complaints during the day, how they felt during the day, what time they went to bed, anything out of the ordinary, like, you know, the patient just said, I'm not feeling well today, or not eating well, or things out of the normal for that patient.
Yeah. I think that what the family here in this case is going to try to make is that that those guys just didn't want to do it anymore, that they were just sick of working on her, and they wanted to have her declared dead so that they could go on to their next case. You've been there. Tell us how you personally would refute a case like that.
I would through my documentation of what I saw at the scene, how I found the patient, what the family told me, the medications and how the patient presented, you know, where she was, how she was in the house, where she was, you know, what I saw, and you know, and you go back to your documentation of the call. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Dennis, for the insight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, take care of the little one, too.
Yeah. No doubt what is the frustrating thing, among other things, for this family is that they did what they were supposed to do, which is advocate for her. They kept saying, the grandma, who's a nurse, kept saying, I am seeing her chest move. I am seeing her chest move. And I wonder what the paramedics' response to that was. Did they dismiss it? Did they say, we don't see it? Did they say, you're being emotional? Because if that's on record anywhere, you can prove that she said that. That's another sign to me. Like, clearly there were signs of life. Now, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what it meant, but there were clearly signs of life. And the grandmother kept saying, she's not dead, she's not dead, she's not dead. And the argument they're making in the lawsuit is that you deprived her of oxygen for an hour when that was what she needed.
Yeah. And I, wow. If the grandmother had had no medical training at all, I think I might feel a little bit different about this, but she did. I mean, whether she was emotional or not, she was a nurse for a long time. That's got to count for something.
Yeah. And I wonder if that will factor in at all. I wonder where, do you have any idea why this would be a federal lawsuit instead of?
No,
that, I don't. That caught me as odd that it's a $50 million federal lawsuit instead of just being filed. I wonder if it's who the paramedics work for or something, if it's a national.
Could be
some kind of national company. So yeah, $50 million lawsuit is what they have filed. And I can't, again, I'll come back to it. It'll become a matter of procedure. Did they do everything that they were supposed to do? Was there anything they missed? Was there anything that they didn't check that they were supposed to? And I don't presume, you know, paramedics don't have the same medical training as doctors, so I don't expect them to know as much. That's why you get her to a hospital, though, and let them deal with it when they get there.
And maybe that's what the procedure should be, is that just if there's any dispute, if there's a dispute at that moment, whether it's with the family or whomever, if, you know, if somebody notices something and there's any question about it whatsoever, that at least you relay that information to the doctor that you're trying to get to make the declaration.
And maybe the paramedics didn't tell the doctor, hey, grandma, the nurse says she is seeing chest, you know, her chest going up. We don't notice that. But in the interest of full disclosure, I'm going to tell you that so that you can make that final decision.
Yeah. Or we do see it, but we don't think it's anything. We think it's, you know, it's the normal electrical activity that goes on after death.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.